Like Ryan said, my name is Daniel Cook, and I'll be presenting for Alan Anderson. The research is on, again, on vehicle impacts and on vegetation in Camp Atterbury. So there will be some overview of what the previous two presentations have been. So I'll try to go through that pretty quickly. Okay, just some background on why the tracking studies are being done. The Integrated Training Area Management, or ITAM program, contains several different programs to kind of assess the land usage, the training exercises, and the condition of the land after them. The RTLA, the Range Training and Land Assessment Program, documents the current land conditions and historic trends in land condition. The LRAM, or Land Rehabilitation and Maintenance Program, uses the RTLA data to identify and prioritize the sites requiring maintenance activities. And the ATTAC program, or the Army Training and Testing Area Carrying Capacity Program, it uses this RTLA data to quantify the current conditions and then go on and predict the future conditions based on the planned training loads. However, from all of this, these different assessment programs, there's no real way to quantify the impacts of individual vehicles, units, and events in a way that accounts for the different vehicle types, the training methods, and land use. So just a little bit of background on the prior impact studies conducted at Camp Atterbury. Like you can see, that the same vehicle tracking system that was described earlier was used, the same spiral technique. We had two different sites, three replications, three different vehicle types, and they were done on the three different speeds, the fast, the medium, and the slower speeds. Again, the spirals were conducted. Points were taken approximately 5 meters. It's around 15 to 20 points per spiral. The vegetation disturbance, the severity was assessed, as well as the rut width and the rut depth. And from these relationships on the cumulative impact and turning radius could be developed for each of the different vehicles that were measured. And so from this data, models were developed. These were some of them were the statistical, site-specific, and vehicle-specific models. They are basically based on the dynamic vehicle parameters, such as the velocity and the turning radius, and then they also include the static vehicle parameters, such as the weight and just the different vehicle types. In addition to these site-specific and vehicle-specific data or models, another more general theoretical model was developed using more data sets from different training areas and different different spiral tests. And that was done to create a more generalized model that you could be that could be used over across the United States in different training areas, and also based on the static and dynamic vehicle properties, you could predict the disturb width from any vehicle that was traveling in a training exercise. So the objective of this study was to develop a means to spatially assess the impact of individual training events on vegetation. And we did that using a DFIRST system to characterize the training events. DFIRST is Deployable Force on Force Instrumented Range System, and it's one of it's used by the Army National Guard, and it's one of several different troop GPS tracking systems that are used with increasing amount during training exercises. These allow for more quality training exercise and more a more intense, I guess, training exercise. So the idea is to use these existing systems instead of mounting vehicle tracking systems on every vehicle, and to use this data because they give the same velocity and location data, and use these to track all, for instance, 80 vehicles in a training exercise. So these basically consist of they have the GPS antenna. They have a participant instrumentation package, which is basically just a radio, and it has different processing equipment. And then this is radioed back to the mobile relay trailer. And there's also a base station and a It differentially corrects the data also. So this is looked visually during the exercise, and then it also stores it, and you can go back after the exercise and look at where the data is. And so these are used, like I said, several places across the United States. Okay, again, these are just a couple pictures of the DFIRST equipment. Here's the GPS receiver, and you can see the antenna. And then this is the radio and the different processing equipment. And like I said, it's differentially corrected with the base station. So the training event we looked at was a 12-day military training exercise between the 14th and 26th of July 2006. There are 80 vehicles tracked with the DFIRST system. We had the M813, which is a 5-ton cargo truck, M35, which is a 2.5-ton cargo truck, and the Humvee. Of these, I think there was around 70 data sets that we were actually able to use. Some of the vehicles just didn't go anywhere during the training exercise, and some of the equipment was faulty on other ones. So the data analysis, first step was to obtain the vehicle movement data from the DFIRST system, and then to identify the on and off-road travel. Using a method created by Dr. Ayers, we were able to derive the velocity and turning radius using the vehicle position data. And then using the previous, the models developed in the previous spiral studies, we were able to estimate the vegetation loss in the off-road areas using the vehicle type, the velocity, and the turning radius that was calculated. In addition, since there was quite a bit of on-road travel, we used the EPA AP 42 equation to estimate the road dust emissions based on the vehicle type and the velocity. So this is just a typical, the on-road is this picture in the back. The different colors represent the different vehicles. And the little subset here would be more of an off-road vehicle event. And you can see it's kind of very concentrated in one area, which was pretty typical of the data that was observed. So when you look at the data, the average total distance traveled was 17.2 kilometers per day. The off-road travel was only 0.2 kilometers per day. So we're seeing the same things that Dr. Ayers was seeing earlier, where most of the travel was on-road and very, very small amount was off-road. The average on-road velocity was 8.4 meters per second, while the average off-road velocity was 2.4 meters per second. And from this the histogram here, most of the vehicles traveled between 10 and 40 kilometers, while some were only 1 kilometer and others were up to 70 kilometers. So there's a pretty good range of different distances traveled. And so we look at the total vegetation loss using the model. It was predicted to be 2,662.8 meters squared, and then the on-road measurement of 465.1 kilograms of the PM2.5 dust was generated. Now these seem like pretty large numbers, but when you consider that it's a 12-day exercise with 70 different data sets, 70 different vehicles, it's really not that much of an impact. And like you can see in these the maps here, this was day one, this is day two, and this is the total of all 3 days. It's very localized and concentrated too. So on the total, it ranged everywhere from zero square meters per training area up to 71.1 square meters per training area. So we compared the theoretical, like the generalized model, to the site-specific statistical models. And in this case, the theoretical model predicted 12.4% less vegetation loss than the site-specific model did for Camp Atterbury. For one vehicle, this was 1,449 versus 1,629 square meters. So while there is some error between the two different models, the ability for the theoretical, the broad-based model, to predict vegetation loss across the United States and for a variety of different vehicles, even some, I mean, you don't even have to test them. I mean, if you have the parameters for the vehicle, the static and dynamic parameters, you can predict the vegetation loss and the impacts based on this model. This is just a few of the data anomalies we found. In some instances, there were spaces where there were no data points. This is probably due to either a loss of a GPS signal or some sort of faulty equipment in the radio. And there's also places where the vehicles were stopped, but it seemed like the signal was roaming around, and that could be, again, due to the GPS signal or faulty sensors or just something else that's wrong with the system. So the data had to be, this is the raw data here, and then it was processed to give the final data, which was analyzed here. Okay, so in conclusion, the DFIRST data is applicable for assessing unit and event-specific site impacts. This provides spatially and temporally specific mission activity applicable to a range of site assessments. So basically, DFIRST data can be used. It's available in, across the United States, and so you can study large vehicle training exercises without going out and actually mounting vehicle tracking systems on all these different data or all these different vehicles. In addition, there's archival data for some of the units and some events at several installations. So this kind of gives an opportunity to go back and look at some previous training exercises and assess the damage that was created there. And additionally, there are more training events scheduled with this DFIRST data, so it allows for more opportunity to study and to validate the models in different locations. With that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir.
What's the long-term effect of these damages?
I actually was not that involved with the actual research. I don't know. I might ask Heidi or Alan or Paul.
We have done recovery rates for the vegetation impact, and it is relatively quick, very quick. This is Camp Atterbury is in Louisiana, and minimal impact to the vegetative quality. It's the National Guard Association, so they don't train on it as frequently.
Right.
Is that DFIRST information publicly available?
Yes, it is. Well, no, it isn't. You have to. It is available, but it is it's a process to obtain it.
Yeah, it seems.
It's restricted. It's for Army only.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
On your calculations for the estimate PM 2.5, is there like a spatial distance from the activity that's figured on?
I think that's just the total amount disturbed. It's based on the silt content, the number of wheels, the weight of the vehicle.
Just kicked up right at the
vehicle. I believe so.
And what enters the atmosphere basically leaves the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Not necessarily leaves the road, but leaves the ground.
Okay, right at the wheel.
We have time for one more question. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.